Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first book of Samuel, the fourth chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 4. Let us first sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
God's holy word, we shall read the Ten Commandments as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us read from the book of Samuel, chapter 4. 1 Samuel 4. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that, when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man, and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Hank Arnold Dusen, who was in the hospital for a day procedure in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, before whom that we appear once again in this morning hour of this beautiful Sabbath day, when thou givest us again the opportunity to assemble in thy house, thou knowest that it has been only and now a week ago that a family in our midst has been cast into mourning. And they have laid a beloved wife and mother and sister and daughter in the grave in the days that have gone by. And now a day and we do go forward. But it can be that it seems that all must come to a stop. And yet everything goes on, that thou may remember them in thy mercy. In this day, in a special way, if it could please thee in thy house of prayer. And when a day shall begin more and more to experience their loss. And when they shall experience a great missing within their hearts, in their own home, that thou may look upon them and comfort as no man is able, because as thy servant did say, that ye are miserable comforters, and we can give one another nothing. But wilt thou remember them in thy mercy from above, and if it could please thee to give a word from heaven in this morning, Within the hearts of each and every one of them, there are also those. They are from a different language, Lord, thou knowest. Give them a little understanding in this morning, if it could please thee, in thy house of prayer. And that thou may give understanding to each and every one of us. That we may know as thy servant how to speak in that language of thy people. A language which is learned from above. And that it may be that which may touch the tender chords of the heart of thy church. May it be in the midst of us in this morning hour. And we know not the condition wherein a man is coming to thy house. Maybe one off of his knees in his inner chamber in this morning. With a burden of guilt, of transgression, and of iniquity. Who may truly sing as we have sung together, remember not, O God. The sins of long ago, but also the sins of today, of this hour, of this morning, the sins of omission, the sins of commission, the transgressions which rise to heaven in thy sight, what we see, but also what we do not see. That which we commit in our willfulness and that which we commit and leave out in our ignorance. But it is before thee iniquity and transgression. So that there is not one among us that is able to appear clean in thy sight. Lord, forgive our sins, which are many. And wilt thou grant unto us a sight of them, an abhorrence of ourselves before thee, and that love of God poured out in our hearts, and that we also may be given to see something of that way which thou hast prepared from that never begun eternity. In him whom thou art well pleased, and in him who has paid that great price with his own blood, to wash and to cleanse, to justify and to sanctify thy church, to redeem them from all sin, and to give them a new and a holy life. O grant a desire for that life, to walk uprightly in thy sight, and to be made clean before thee, to walk according to thy holy law, that we may be blameless, that we may love thee above all, that we may love our neighbor as ourselves. Oh, that we may desire that life according to thy holy law, which is a life that will be lived in to all eternity by thy people. Not because they have merited that life, but because thou hast paid for all the transgression. Oh, that thou may remember us then, each and every one. Grant that desire for thee that comes not from ourselves, that fleeing from all that is here below, and that is vain, that is carnal, that is passing away, and that is working to our own destruction, put thou away. That great prince of darkness who seeks our destruction, and who is using every artifice in this world in an outward way, in an inward way, to draw young and old together,
with all that our hearts do seek after. Oh Lord, look upon the youth, the children. May Thou give them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, who alone is able, O Lord, to touch their hearts but Thee, who is able to draw their hearts but Thee, in the day of grace, in a time of salvation, when there is so much that is pleasing to our flesh, that is drawing to the corrupt inclinations of our sinful and corrupt hearts. Oh, that Thou may lead and guide in all our ways, and that Thou may teach us the fear of Thy name. Oh, give to walk as a Daniel, even may it be in the days of youth, and that in the little things even here below there may be faithfulness, and that there may be entrusted unto them one day things that are much greater. Lord, that Thou may look upon Thy church. Oh, work Thou mightily. We live in days wherein Thy Spirit is so quiet. Oh, we live in days wherein we must experience something of Thy judgments upon us, because of our own forsaking of Thee, days without number. But Lord, Thou alone art able to make it different with us. Oh, Thou hast seen a people polluted in their own blood, and Thou dost save from Thy sight, that Thou dost spread Thy skirt upon them, and Thou dost say unto them, live. Oh, Thou takest them into Thy bosom, and Thou dost say, I am married unto You, everything, O Lord, everything from Thy sight. Oh, we have such a great responsibility, accountable to Thee for all our transgressions. But we are able to do nothing. Thou knowest we are weak through the flesh. So Thy servant did say, so that we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, that there is no ability to fulfill our responsibilities. Oh Lord, Thou art the Savior. Oh, Thou art the Redeemer of Thy people, and to whom else can we go but unto Thee? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, do it then for Thy name's sake in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, we must say we have also departed, each and every one of us. Who can put His hand in His bosom and take it out clean? Our hearts are worldly. We follow after all that is here below. Oh, our treasure that is not above. We deserve that Thou wouldst cast us from Thee. Oh, Lord, what can we say? We are guilty in Thy holy sight. Oh, we look up unto Thee. Thou hast in Thine only begotten Son made a way for the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, show Thyself then also in the days in which we are living with our children, and do show that Thou upholdest Thy own covenant, and that Thou still workest, and that Thou still drawest sinners unto Thyself. Oh, give that the mouths may go open when Thy church may be given to say, come. And hear, O ye that fear God, and I will tell you what He has done unto my soul, that the ears of young and old may go open, and that the hearts may be drawn with a holy jealousy, and that their faces may be set unto Zion, that they may come thither. O Lord, that Thou would seek us out, as we will never seek after Thee. We acknowledge our transgressions as far as we may see them. Open them unto us further. Give us true humility of heart. Oh, bring us truly in the dust before Thee. Make us upright in Thy sight. Lord, bless Thy word. Glorify Thy own dear Son. And wilt Thou cause Thy word to go forth with free course. Remember the afflicted and the sick. All those that are in the hospitals, Lord, Thou knowest each one where they are. Those that have been in the hospital also run in our midst in the week that is gone by. O Lord, Thou hast made it well. Thou knowest all things. O humble Thou his heart before Thee this day, and that he may sit amongst us, or that he may be here in Thy house. For it is all a wonder from Thee, when we may see a little bit how close that we can be, and not even know it, even to that great eternity. Oh, that Thou may grant him a blessing in Thy house with his wife, with his children here together. And oh, further bless the means for his health and his strength. And grant him a blessing from above. Lord, remember all the afflicted and the sick ones. And wilt Thou be near and dear unto the doctors, the nurses, and help, that it may be for a blessing for the need of the body. Bless, sanctify the ways that Thou leadest in Thy providence in this world, that it may be to the welfare of souls. Be with those that have become very old. Oh, Thou knowest, Lord, we have one foot already in the grave. Oh, that Thou may bless in the time of old age. And when the heart is experienced to be as hard as the nether millstone, and they are not able to weep a tear anymore. Oh, Lord, it can be the grief of their heart. But, oh, break the hard and stony hearts, Lord. Thou art able to do it in one moment. And Thou art able to make a flood of tears. Oh, Thou art able to give that heart to so weep, and to grant them a true sorrow after Thee, and that even in the last days of their life, Thy word may be sanctified, and that Thy Spirit may bless it, and the soul may be saved, before that it is forever and eternally too late. Do look upon all Thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt Thou grant Thy word free course in this world, among Jew, among Gentile, in Thy established churches. And oh, that Thou Thyself may receive honor and glory, and that Thy kingdom may come, that the 144,000 may be brought in, and that we and our children may not be left behind, as we are traveling with all Thy blessings to that great eternity, and that we have to give an answer for when we must stand before Thy throne. Oh, grant us a little separation then in these moments, in this day, and when we are together round about Thy unchangeable word and everlasting testimony. Oh, that the devil may be put away for a moment, and that everything in this world may be set aside, and that our minds may be able to meditate upon Thy word of truth, and that our hearts may be snatched by Thy Holy Spirit in this hour, that it may be an unforgettable hour in Thy favor, and that we are together in Thy house. Forgive all our many transgressions. Help us to bring Thy word. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 205, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. O wherefore hast Thou cast us off? O God, our God of old, why art Thou angry with Thy sheep, the sheep of Thy own fold, the sheep of Thy own fold? We announce, the Lord willing, there will be a consistory meeting this coming Wednesday evening, October the 8th at 7:30 p.m. Visitors are welcome after 8:30. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, 205, 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and thereof the first part of the 11th verse. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 11, the first part, and the ark of God was taken. So far, the words of our text. The ark of God taken. We want to consider this with the Lord's help in three thoughts. First, a vain hope. Second, a suspicious fear. And third, a godly sorrow. The ark of God taken. First, a vain hope. Second, a suspicious fear. And third, a godly sorrow. Thus, first, a vain hope. What does that mean? That means an empty hope. That is a hope that is without substance. That is, congregation, an awful thing. A vain hope. And why is that such an awful thing? Well, what is hope? Hope that is not exactly the same thing as faith. But hope and faith are very closely related to one another. Faith that is embracing things that are present. That is of the present time. But hope that is looking for things that are future. Both faith and hope, they have to do with things that are not seen. Thus, they are very closely related. The Apostle Paul is speaking about faith, and he says that faith that is the substance of things that are hoped for. The substance of things that are hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. Thus, faith that is making things that are not seen to be real to us. Children, faith, by faith, we believe in God. God cannot be seen. God is not only future, but God is now. Thus, faith that has to do with things that are present at this time, and yet we cannot see them. But hope that has to do also with things that we cannot see, but it has to do with a looking for something that is coming in the future. Paul also speaks about hope, and he says, hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if he hope for that which he does not see, then he says, do we with patience, what? Wait for it. We wait for it. That is hope. Now our first thought, that is about a vain hope. That is an empty hope. That is a hope that is without substance. That is an awful thing. Because that means we are looking, that means we are waiting for something that is not coming. Never coming. We see that in this chapter. Because Israel, they are battling against the Philistines. And we see that Israel is put to the worse. And that 4,000 men are slain. And then we read that there is a question. What is it? And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" That is a good question. Because they do not say, "How is it possible that the Philistines, they have smitten us?" But they say, "Why is it that the Lord hath smitten us?" Then they are acknowledging that there is a higher cause. Do we also ask such questions? When we experience the providences of the Lord in this world? But do you know what they do not do? They do not go on their knees. They do not bow before the Lord and ask the Lord why that He has smitten them before their enemies. And why not? I know why not. Because when I live in sin, then I do not have to ask the Lord why that He comes against me. Because in my very conscience, I know why. And thus they are not bowing their knees. But they are only reasoning among themselves together. Why has the Lord done this? And then they come up with their own answer. They come up with their own solution. What is it? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. What do they do? Congregation, it is a people that have departed from the Lord. We have heard it. And now what do? They will take hold of the form. They will take hold of that ark. And they are going, as it were, to force the Lord. No, these people are not heathens. They are the Israelites. And they know that that ark itself, that cannot save them. They know, however, that that ark, that is holy. They know that that ark, that is a symbol of the presence of the mighty God. They are acquainted with the history of the children of Israel. And when they will look back in that history, and then they know how that the Lord has placed that ark among them. And how that the Lord, when He has given that ark to go with them through that wilderness. Also times when that ark also went out into the battle. And when none of the enemies of the people of the Lord were able to stand before them. And what are they going to do? They're going to do it again. They say, we are going to do the same thing as our fathers have done. And we are going to experience the same thing that our fathers have experienced when they have done it. Do we do that too? Because that is something that is so common in the world in which we are living. That man, he is taking hold of the form when he has nothing in himself of the substance. Then man thinks that he is actually going to force the Lord. Or we will take those words out of the Holy Scriptures. And we will take those words which our forefathers have spoken. And we will use them too. And we will use them in a very positive way. And we will use them in a way of a faith. We will believe it. We will do it again. They say, what does the Lord Jesus say in His Word? Whosoever believeth in Me, he shall not perish. He shall have eternal life. And now we must do it. We must take those words. And we must believe those words. We will do it. We will believe in Him. And now? Now, he cannot lie. So now we will receive eternal life. And then you see them coming with an unholy boldness to the Holy Supper of the Lord. Then you see them taking with unholy hands that which is belonging unto that true church of the Lord. It is actually the same as Israel in the days of Eli. See them sending to Shiloh. So the people send to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Do they run to Eli? No. No. No, they do not want in this moment to hear the words of wisdom. No, they do not want in this moment to hear the words of experience. No, they do not wish at this moment that there would be any resistance to their new ideas, their progressive ideas. Do they go to Samuel? No. And why not? Ah, Samuel. He is actually a thorn. He is a thorn to these elders who are going in that same wicked way as the sons of Eli. And when there is a righteous man, oh, then that young man, he is a thorn in their eyes. And if they can, they will have nothing to do with him because it is a testimony against their own consciences. Where do they go? Hophni and Phinehas. Because in Hophni and Phinehas there will be no resistance to their willfulness. And so we see those two men. Where are they going, children? Oh, we see them going into that tabernacle. And they are going further than they ought to go. because we see them, they are pushing aside that veil. O Hophni, O Phinehas, do you dare to enter into that most holy place? Because you know that only the high priest, only one time in the year, and that not without blood, is permitted to enter into that most holy of holies. But with a daring boldness, those two men are going in, and they are taking out that ark of God. And then we see it going out into that army of the children of Israel. What is the hope? What is, congregation, the expectation? We read it. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Oh, what do they expect? They expect a victory. They expect a great victory. They expect that every one of their enemies is going to be vanquished. They expect to return again unto their places with the spoil. But what does our text say? And the ark of God was taken. Thus, what was their hope? Vanity. Vanity. Their hope, their expectation, that was actually nothing. It was never fulfilled. We would say it was just air. Oh, what a bitter, bitter disappointment. That form that they took hold of, that ark, that ceremony, oh, that just collapsed under their feet. It was, congregation, to them, no foundation. A bitter disappointment. 30,000 men they lost in that day, their lives. We can take hold of what we want. We can even take whole congregation of that word of God. But if that is all we have, then it will not help us. We can read in the Bible of there were seven sons of Sceva, and they took hold of the words of the Apostle Paul. They tried to cast out a devil. Oh, they said that with great faith, they thought. I adjure thee, by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out of him. And what happened? The devil gave his answer. He says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the hypocrite's hope shall perish, and that his trust shall be as a spider's web. You know what that is, children, right? A spider's web. Just blow on it, and it is gone. Oh, what an awful thing is a vain hope, clinging, waiting, longing for what is not coming. boys and girls? How do we make that simple for you? I know when you have your birthday, that your mother or father, they will give you a little gift. Now think about something. It is several weeks before your birthday, and your mother, she puts a box, a wrapped box, there on the mantel. And she says, that is now for your birthday. And now you are waiting. She says, you may not touch it, but you have to wait until your birthday. And then you are thinking, what is in there? Maybe it is a new ball. Maybe it is a new bat. Maybe it is a new doll. Maybe this, maybe that. And the time is coming closer and closer. Mother, can we not have it today? No, you must wait. Tomorrow, that is your birthday. And then it is 5 o'clock in the morning. You can't sleep anymore. Can you get up? Mother, can I have it now? Yes, now you may have it. And you open it. And there is nothing in it. Nothing in it. Children, would your mother do that to you? Would your father do that to you? They would never do that to you. When you were waiting, and then to see that you are so very disappointed, but it is nothing at all. And that has more meaning. You go home and you ask your father and your mother what the minister meant. And they will explain it to you. In 70 AD, that Jewish nation, they were holed up in that Jerusalem and they were waiting. They were waiting. For what? The deliverance of the Lord. We will not go over to that enemy. Why not? God, the covenant God, He is going to deliver us. So they waited, and they waited, and it never came. A vain hope. Christ says, so men will come to that great day, all their life, religious people. The name of the Lord on the lips. Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. A vain hope. It shall end congregation in nothing. The ark of God was taken. We have to go to our second thought. That is a superstitious fear. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, and therefore they said, God is come into the camp. That is congregation very different than it was with the Israelites, because these were now ignorant heathens. They were Gentiles. These were now people that were idolaters. And they had the thought that that ark was itself the God of the Hebrews. They say, God is come into the camp. Oh, how many things have they heard about this God? Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? these gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. They speak as heathen, and they speak as those who serve many gods, and they think the Israelites' God is also of many gods. But now they have also heard concerning the wonders that the Lord has done for His people, as He has brought them out of that land of Egypt. All the wonders of God for His church, they will go out over all the earth. They are being declared even to this day in the ends of the world. What has taken place so many thousands of years ago, no, it is not going just to be laid aside, but the Lord is going to receive all His honor and all His glory. But what now do they say? They say, "Woe unto us! For there had not been such a thing heretofore." What is that? Oh, they say, now God is come in His very person. That is the ark itself that has come into the camp. That has not happened before, at least. That has not happened yesterday. That has not happened when we have had the victory over them, and when 4,000 of their men have laid on that battlefield. No, now there is something different that is happening. God Himself has come there. That is, congregation, a superstitious fear that is not a fear which is according to the reality. That is not a fear that is according to who that God really is. What is this the consequence of? That is the consequence of the fall. Why? Because in the fall we have lost the knowledge of God. Oh, children, young people, do you hear what those Philistines are saying? Then even in their mind, they have no instruction about who that true and that living God is. Oh, do you see something? Do you feel something of the great privilege that you have in your life? When you may be born into your family, when you may be baptized, when you may be brought up, when you may be instructed in the knowledge of the truth, of the true and that living God. Superstition, we say foolishness, but it lives here. And it is, congregation, so very, very real in the world in which we are living. There are high-rise buildings that have no floor 13. Why? Because there are people that would never rent a 13th floor to hold their business, because then they believe that business will fail. There are hospitals with no room 13. Why? Because there are people that would never go into a room 13 in the hospital because they fear there they will die. There are actually airplanes that have no 13th row. Oh, boys and girls, a black cat that is the same as a white cat, and don't you let anyone ever tell you that it is different. No, you do not need to fear, young people. Do you have those little charms that people are hanging in their automobiles, or they are placing in their rooms, in their homes, so that they may be protected, so that there may be a chasing away of evil spirits, so that they may not have what they say is bad luck? Or we hope, young people, that you flee from these things, because our hearts are also prone to such awful and wicked superstition. The Philistines believed that the ark was God Himself, but they had no reason to fear that object. It was but a box with the cherubims that were upon it. Superstition that is denying the true causes of things. Superstition that is separating the cause of something from its effect. Superstition does not honor God as the first cause of all things. Superstition that does not honor God in the way that He is in His providence, in a natural way, making the effects of things to flow out of their causes, so that we may determine what they are. Superstition that is attributing power unto the evil spirits which they do not have, as if they themselves were not subject unto the King of Kings. Or it was superstition, a superstitious fear, that made these Philistines to muster up all their courage, to muster up all their strength for the battle. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. That was the fault of the Israelites themselves in their departure from the Lord, in their taking hold of the form without the substance. They have led the Philistines astray, and it will be to their own destruction. Oh, there's another fear. There is another fear that is so necessary. And what is that fear? That is the fear of the Lord, the tender fear of the Lord. Let us sing first. 214. 4 and 5. Again they rebelled and tempted the Lord. Unfaithful they turned to idols abhorred. And God in His anger drew from them then, no longer delighting to dwell among men. 4 and 5 of Psalter 214. and the ark of God was taken. The same ark, congregation, that was the object of a vain hope for many in Israel, that same ark was the object of a superstitious fear in the heathen, in the Philistines. But now we see that that same ark that is also the object of a godly sorrow, same ark. Thus, what is God's word? What are the ordinances of the Lord to us? Because in the word of God we read that to some they will be a savor of death unto death, and unto others they will be a savor of life unto life. How will that be for us? A godly sorrow. Where do we read that? We read that in the 21st verse. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel." And why? Because the ark of God is taken. She named the child Ichabod. Who is that? She. We don't know her name. Oh, she had a name. But that name, apparently, that was not a very well-known name. It is not mentioned unto us. But that name, congregation, that is, though not known unto us, that name is known by the Lord. Because there was a woman who feared the Lord. She did not have an easy life. No, because she was the wife of Phinehas. And we know that Phinehas, he was a very wicked man. And so you can be sure that the wickedness of her husband in that tabernacle of the Lord, that was unto her a very great grief. And now she is cast into a greater grief. You say, yes, that is right, because now her husband has died. And that is true. And that is, congregation, a great grief. That is a great burden. Then we have also in our midst now a widower. And he has to bear that grief, that burden, with his children, day by day. And yet, this personal grief, that was not the greatest grief in the life of this wife of Phinehas. How do we know it? Well, we read in the 19th verse, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. Thus, what do we read? We read first, that she hears the tidings of that ark of God that is now in the first place. In the second place, it is the tidings that her father-in-law is dead. And that was the high priest for the people of the Lord. And finally, also, yes, the tidings of the loss of her own husband. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Thus she died. And as she was dying, then those midwives, they tried to encourage her. They said, you have borne a son. That is a cause, one of the greatest causes of joy, that they may bear a son. And yet, we read that the wife of Phinehas did not answer. We read that she did not regard this encouragement. Actually, those midwives do not realize what her sorrow is. And that the greatest joys that may come in the life of a person here below, they are not able to overcome the spiritual sorrows and that are living in the heart of God's people. Of course, her husband was dead. And so she herself has to name that child. And she names that child Ichabod. That is, where is the glory? Or there is no glory. And she named the child Ichabod, saying the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God is taken and because her father-in-law and her husband were dead. Oh, she repeats then, we read in the next verse, wherein the real causes of the loss of the glory of Israel was, she says, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. You say it is the same ark that was now the object of a vain hope. It is the same ark that was the object of a superstitious fear. And now this ark, that is the object of a godly sorrow. Why? Why? What is the difference? What is it to her? It is to her a symbol. That is what it was given to be for the children of Israel. Thus a symbol, and a symbol of what? Oh, that ark that was within that tabernacle. And that ark in that tabernacle was actually a symbol. We have heard that in the months gone by, a symbol of the very presence of Jehovah, the very presence of that covenant God of Israel. And that tabernacle altogether, that is a picture, that is a preaching of the gospel for the children of Israel in that Old Testament. How now it is possible that Holy God that is signified by that ark in that most holy place is able to dwell in and among a sinful people? No, it was not the Lord Himself. She knows that, but it is a symbol. It is a gift of God. He Himself has given it. He Himself has commanded that it be made. He Himself has given it as a testimony of His own promise that He was going to dwell in the midst of His people. And now the Lord permits that blessed symbol is taken by the enemy. That symbol that is such a great comfort to those who mourn in Israel over their own transgression, who mourn over the transgression of their own nation. Ichabod, she says, the glory is departed from Israel. Oh, how many wives, how many mothers were mourning in Israel. 30,000 men are laying upon that battlefield. But how many of them are mourning as this woman? No, that form is not the most important unto her, but the representation, because she cannot do without the Lord. And the declension in Israel that was so very, very great, so that so often that remnant was mourning in Israel, and that they have said, oh, how just and how righteous if the Lord would now leave us as a people, and that He would cut Himself away from us, or that He would break His covenant for all our transgressions, for all our iniquities. Oh, how often has that people not been on their knees? And now to see that the Lord, He is permitting that ark to go away, that symbol of His presence that He has given among His people. Oh, then they can only say with this wife of Phinehas, Ichabod, Ichabod, the glory is departed from Israel. What was that glory? Oh, Israel, that was such a privileged nation. Israel was a nation as no other nation was in that whole world. Why? Because the Lord promised to be among them. That is the true, the living God. He has promised to go with them with His presence. And He has given the symbols of this presence as a testimony from Himself. That He has said, you are my children and I am your God. What did that mean to Moses? He said, Lord, if Thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Oh, that whole world that is lying in wickedness, that whole world that is lying in ignorance. And now this one people, they are given the truth. They are taught from the God of heaven. That whole world that is lying under death. That whole world that is lying under separation from God. And they do not know the way. That way is not made known to them. But to this people, the Lord, He shows to them in that tabernacle how that they can be received again unto Himself. You say, oh, they still had the preaching of the gospel, because they still had the sacrifices. Those sacrifices could still be brought. Congregation, what for? What for? There are multitudes of people in this world that are professing that name of that only sacrifice, but they do not know what for. That sacrifice was for a purpose. That sacrifice was not an end in itself. If it does not begin in our life with that hunger and that thirst after God Himself, then we do not know in our life a need for a Savior. That we do not know in our life what to do with a Savior. No, there is a church that is ending in whom? There is a church that is ending in a triune God. That is Christ. By His Holy Spirit, He is bringing that people to whom? He is bringing them unto God again. He is reconciling them
unto the Father. This is the reason that Christ will receive glory to all eternity, because He has delivered them from the greatest evil, and He has brought them to that highest good, and that is God. But now, that ark of God is taken, and that is now the representation of God Himself. Then you understand where she cries out, Ichabod, that is the glory that is departed from Israel. Oh, that one nation in the world who may know how by the teaching of the Lord, how a sinful man can return unto the true and the living God. And now it is gone. Ichabod, the glory is departed from Israel. O congregation, that was a mother who sorrowed after a godly sort. Do you know that sorrow? Say, poor woman. No. She was not a poor woman. She was a very rich woman. Why? Because of that godly sorrow. Phinehas, her husband, he may be out in that field rejoicing. Rejoicing so that earth rang again. And his wife at home weeping, mourning because of the declension. O congregation, that was soon turned around. Because in this day, they both left this life. Husband and wife. And then the tide was turned. Because we read that Solomon says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. But the hope of the wicked, though they rejoice so that the earth rings again, the hope of the wicked shall perish. Congregation, oh, we have seen it a little as we have tried to lay it out to you in this hour. One ark, and that ark, that now was the object of a vain hope. The same ark that was the object of a superstitious fear. The same ark that was the object of a godly sorrow. Will we lay our life next to it? How is it now with us? What is that ark to us? What is that word to us? What are the ordinances of God in His church? Oh, we give an answer today before the Lord, each one of us, in our own conscience. What is it to us? Maybe, young people, that you say, I'm not so jealous of that woman. I'm not so jealous of that people that are sorrowing for the declension, that are sorrowing because the glory of the Lord that is so far departed. Oh no, sometimes I see there are other people, and you know, they are so happy. Oh, they are rejoicing.
And then they are speaking about that name of the Lord Jesus. I would so much rather, you know, it is much more heartening. Do you know what Hophni and Phinehas has lacked? We don't say God's children do not rejoice here below at all. No. But do you know what Hophni and Phinehas has lacked? They lacked repentance. Repentance. With all the rejoicing, there was no sorrow for sin. There was no guilt. There was no turning again. Do you know what Paul says? He says that godly sorrow that is working repentance. And it works a repentance, he says, that shall not be repented of. Never. Never is that people sorry that they have wept over their own guilt, over their own sin. Why not? Because out of this, the Lord is giving a hope. It is a hope congregation that is not as a spider's web. No, it is not a vain hope. Do you know what we read? Paul says it is a hope as an anchor of the soul. An anchor. Do you know what an anchor is? When you cast that anchor from the ship and it goes down and down to the bottom, and there it is taking hold. And then that ship can be tossed about upon the waves, but that ship that is now holding fast through every storm, Paul says that hope that is as an anchor of the soul. Do you know where he says it is entering? He says it is entering into that within the veil. That is where the ark was, right? Or it is entering into that which is within the veil. That is, into heaven itself. And it can never be stolen. And therefore, that hope congregation that will never be made ashamed. Do you hear that, children? Never. Ask your mom and dad to explain it to you a little more. That is not what that people, they are looking for on their birthday as a gift from the Lord. But it is now the gift that they are looking for on their death day. And you know something about that gift, children? It will not be empty. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us thy fear? Because we are creatures by nature with a vain hope. We are creatures by nature with a superstitious fear. But we have no godly sorrow. Oh, remember us. And wilt thou cause us to receive that sorrow that is working that repentance not to be repented of. And to work that hope that shall not be made ashamed. Look on us in the rest of this day. And wilt thou help us again this afternoon. And when we hope once again to try to bring thy word. And wilt thou be on our right and on our left to give us strength, therefore. and may thou be in our midst. Wilt thou keep us from sin? Wilt thou forgive our sin? And wilt thou receive our acknowledgement for the help that thou hast given us in this morning hour? And may it be to enter into the hearts of many for Jesus' sake. Amen. 441 stanzas 1 and 3. Thy land, O Lord, the heathen have invaded, and thy holy heritage they have degraded. Jerusalem, the temple, and its altars are ruthlessly defiled by the assaulters. Thy land in ruin lies, and cries for vengeance rise to heaven for all this evil. Our foes have given to beast and vulture for a feast the bodies of thy people. 1 and 3 of Psalter 441. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.